Thanks, you guys. I love that song. Because I don't know about you, but life gets busy, and it's so easy to forget about God's presence in your life. And so I think it's a good reminder for us to even utter those words, "Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in our lives as we seek to know you, to be changed by you, to understand who you are." So hey, we're super glad that you're here. This summer, I've been doing a message series that I have simply entitled Go and Tell. Go and Tell. We're talking about evangelism. We're talking about what does it mean for us to share our faith with one another? What does it mean for us to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ? Throughout this series, I have been asking you what I think is a pretty pointed question, but a question that I really want us to take seriously, a question that quite literally should take us to our core. And the question has been this: does it make any difference to you whether or not your friends, family members, coworkers, the people closest to you, does it make any difference to you whatsoever if your friends have been made right with God? Like, really? See, because here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that if we are in Christ, if we have come to faith in Jesus, it says that we have been saved, or we have been made right with God. That's what it means to be saved. It means to be made right, that the penalty of our sin, the presence of sin is literally eradicated in our lives, that our hope is fixed now on eternity. And if we don't know that, then the trajectory of our lives, of our eternity, is not towards heaven. And so this question: does it make a difference to you whether or not your friends, family members, coworkers, neighbors, the person that waits on you at Starbucks every day, some of you, does it really make a difference to you whether they've been made right with God? And what I have been sharing with you is, I hope the answer to that question is yes, that it really does make a difference. It really does make a difference where the people we love spend eternity. And so we have been walking this journey again that I've just called Go and Tell. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the who, where, why, when, and what of evangelism. The who, where, why, when, and what of evangelism. In other words, we're going to do a really fast review of where we've been over the last few weeks in case you haven't been with us. And then I'm going to lay out for you what is one of the models of how we actually share faith with somebody else. Now, there's been lots of different models. When I was a kid, we had the bracelets with the red bead and the black bead and the gold bead and, you know, those kinds of things. We've seen a model which is a cliff on one side, a cliff on the other, a cross in the middle. There's a lot of different models that we've seen that we can use to actually share our faith with others. But I'm going to pick one of those today and just work it through with you, with the hope being that when you walk out of here from this morning, you will have a template. You will actually be able to walk out of here and go, you know what? I can actually share my faith with somebody. I can actually tell somebody what the good news is, what the gospel is. So that's where we're going to spend like the last half of our message. But let's just dig in real quick, the who, where, why, when, and what of evangelism. And so the first question, the first review point is, who is called to go into all the world and share the gospel? And everybody says, we are. We are. You are. I are. Bad grammar. I am. We all are, right? We are all called to go out and to share the gospel. Look what it says in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. This is referred to as the Great Commission. This is what Jesus gave his disciples, the Great Commission. Mission, right? The I'm going with you, I'm helping you, we're going to do this together. The Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. The Great Commission. He says, go, or as we've been talking about over the last few weeks, a better translation is, as you are going. So as you are going into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. And so the Great Commission is that all of us together need one another to share the gospel. Every single one of us is called to share the gospel. So who is called to share the gospel? We are. Question number two, where are we to share the gospel? Anywhere and everywhere. Pretty simple, right? Anywhere and everywhere we are to share the gospel. We are not just to be a good example. We are actually supposed to share the gospel. We are supposed to tell others the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Now, we don't push it, we proclaim it. We share it with others. Again, Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say I am? Now, the reality is with our lives, both what we do and what we don't do, how we live, how we don't live, everything that we do actually tells the world whose we belong to. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be with our words. We are supposed to go everywhere to share the gospel. Question number three, why are we to share the gospel? We talked about this last week and the week before, because God's primary way of reaching people is through people. That's God's primary way, is reaching people through people verbally. Verbally. In Romans 10:14, and we've been going back to this verse like over and over, over the last few weeks, because this is a really convicting verse for us, I believe, that Paul asks in Romans 10:14. He says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And as we've been talking about the last few weeks, they can't and they won't. That God has chosen in his way, and in his wisdom, to use us. So God's primary way of reaching people is through people. God wants to use us. So the who, the where, the why, and when are we to share the gospel? All the time. Literally, all the time. With our words and our witness. Or as we've talked about, with how we act, how we live, with what we say and with what we don't say, with what we do and with what we don't do, that we are supposed to share. If we believe in Jesus, if we have made a profession of faith in Jesus, we are supposed to share our faith with people all the time. Again, we don't push it, but we proclaim it. We don't beat it over somebody's head, but we do share it with the people around us. 2 Timothy says that we should preach the word of God. That's actually a better word, if we just share, proclaim. We are supposed to preach the word of God. Be prepared, he says, whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. So we have to be prepared to tell others the good news of Jesus. The bottom line to the who, where, when, why is this, is that God has called us to share the gospel wherever, to whosoever, whenever God directs us or the opportunity avails itself. We are supposed to share the gospel. We are supposed to tell others about Jesus wherever, to whosoever, whenever God directs us or the opportunity avails itself. That's the who, where, when, why, right? Who is called? Where are we to share it? Why are we to share the gospel? When are we to share the gospel? And really, what is it that we're supposed to go and tell? The gospel. That quite literally means good news. We are supposed to share the good news, that God wants us to proclaim Jesus to the world. God wants us to reveal Christ to the world. So he wants to use us to walk with others through the message of the gospel to one day that they might receive it. And so the time that we have left this morning, again, what I want to do with you is I just want to share briefly with you one method, one plan, one outline, one way that you can walk out of here today and say, hey, I got an outline for how I can actually do what God's called me to do if I believe in Jesus, to share the gospel. Because I know a lot of us are like, so what do I say? And like, what is the essence? And like, how do I do that? There's a statistic that I read this week that said that 93% of Christians have never led anyone to Christ. 93% of us have never led anybody to Christ. And I think of a lot of that is because we're like, I don't know what to say. I know what I feel, I know what I've experienced, but I don't know really kind of how to share all that. Again, I want to give you a model, a method that I think is really easy. It's very memorable of how we can share the gospel. But let's look at a foundation first. Just a few scriptures. You don't need to memorize a bunch of scriptures to be able to share the gospel. But there are some foundational scriptures that help us to understand what the gospel is and what is this that we're sharing. In Ephesians 1:4, we're told that even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Do you know this amazing news is that before we even were like a glimmer, God already had us in mind and God already loved us. That means none of us is an accident. We were all created on purpose. We are all one of a kind, unique, unrepeatable miracles of God, fashioned in our mother's wombs by the hand of Jesus. And so God ordained a long time ago, God wanted a long time ago from the very beginning for us to know him and to have a relationship with him because he's already chosen us. See, that tells us that we are loved by God, which is one of the foundational truths of why we share the gospel, because we're loved by God. Another is Romans 3:23, this, even though we're loved by God, we're told by the Apostle Paul that everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. This is really good news, actually. It's kind of like the bad news, good news, right? This is really good news because we are all in the same boat. Every single one of us, without exception, the only one that ever this didn't apply to was Jesus. So everyone who has ever been, ever is, or ever will be, has fallen short. We have all missed the mark. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, right? So we're all in the same boat. So when we talk to people about the gospel, we have an immediate place of connecting with them because we're like, we all fall short. We all miss the mark. We're all not what God originally intended us to be. But see, now some more bad news, but good news. Paul tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin or the penalty of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this is an amazing verse. We have talked about this verse a lot. Is that the reality is we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of God's glorious standard, we have all messed up our lives, and there is a penalty for that. The penalty is death, separation from God. But God didn't leave us there. God provided a way that we could be made right with him. Because we can be made right with God because God sent Christ to die for us so that we have a free gift, eternal life through Jesus. Look what it says in Romans 5:8, that God showed his great love for us. Again, keep in mind, while we were yet still sinners, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Great news. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard, and there is nothing we can do to fix that. We can't work hard enough. We can't earn it. There is nothing we can do to earn God's favor. There's nothing we can do to be made right with God. It's all about what God has done in Christ. He sent Jesus to die for our sin, to pay the price so that we could be made right with God because one of God's essential attributes is he's just. That means there had to be a penalty for sin. It's like parents, when your kids make a bad choice, there's a consequence, right? How many times, parents, have you heard, have you said to your kids, you know, every choice has its consequences, right? So there had to be a consequence for sin, and God decided it was death, it was separation. But God doesn't leave us there. He sent Christ so that we could be made right with him. And then John 12:46 is amazing good news. Jesus says, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Do you know one of the most powerful words in that whole sentence? All. So that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark or remain in sin. So some foundational scriptures, again, you don't have to memorize all those, but you can keep them in your mind. You could write them down. You can just carry this in your wallet. The bad news is that we've all messed up. We all fall short of God's standard. The good news is that God has made a way for us to be made right with him, and it's through Jesus and through Jesus alone. So what's the model? What is a good takeaway for us that's memorable for us to be able to be like, okay, I can actually do that. I could never remember the color of the beads. I'm like, it's like gold and green and like what order were they in? Like I just could never remember that. This one, I hope, will be super memorable to you. I first heard this several years ago at a conference that I go to with my buddy Dave. In Atlanta called Catalyst. There's a Christian artist by the name of Propaganda who has laid out for us, he's partnered with an organization called Dare to Share to give us a really simple way to remember the essence of the gospel so that we can share that with others to be responsive to the fact that we have been called and commanded by God to share our faith. So check this out.
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes? God. The maker and giver of life, and by life I mean any and all manner and substance, seen and unseen, what can and can't be touched, thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans, God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold, it's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. Formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond. Creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job. An odd list of complaints as if the system ain't working. And used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny, our, yes, our sins. It's nature inherited, black in the human heart. It was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides trying to prove God is like deep in a lion, homie. It'll need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer, an asthma, choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God. And the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe. But all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank, but you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list, because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated. And the only way to fix it is someone die in your place. And that someone gotta be perfect, or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection we all cheered, because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, blood-stained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone, I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life.
So it's really hard to follow that. But isn't that simple? If you think, how in the world do I share my faith with somebody? How do I take the essence of 66 books and the Bible, and how do I just boil it all down to a simple way that I could share my faith, in other words, what I believe, with somebody else? And so I want to walk through those six things for you real quick to walk somebody through the message of the gospel, because here is the deal. I do not want us to be a part of the 93%. I want us to be a part that changes the 7 to 10 to 20 to 30 and to keep it growing. Because God has chosen to share the gospel to people through people, and that means we have a responsibility. That means we have something to do. So let's hit these really fast, and I hope that you will write these down and you remember these. If you want to find this video, if you will just YouTube search the gospel in six words or propaganda, you will find it. You can download this to your phone, your mobile device, and if you feel inept sometimes, you can be like, could you just watch this? And then let me talk about it and share my story with you. So what is the gospel message in six letters? The G, God. God created us to be with him. God loves us. He wants us to be with him forever. So there has always been God, and we have always been in God's heart. And it's his desire that we would be with him forever. But the reality is the O, our sins separate us from God. One sin separates us from God. That's why we're all in the same condition. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. One sin is sufficient to separate us from God, because he's a perfect, holy God, and we are not. And so God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from him. And sins cannot be removed by good deeds. So when you talk to somebody and they might say something like, well, you know, I need to get parts of my life straightened out before I can show up there, be like, oh no, you got that backwards. Like, show up and allow God to kind of work that stuff out, because the reality is our sins separate us from God, and sin cannot be removed by good deeds. We can't work our way, achieve our way to that right relationship with God. The P, paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. R.C. Sproul, a theologian, was asked, how would you summarize the gospel? And he said, Jesus Christ crucified. And so paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again, showing that he conquered this curse called death. And so God created us. Our sin separates us. Their sin cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again. And by the way, it's only Jesus, because Jesus said, it's only me. That the only way to God is through Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way to God, whether we like that or not. It's just what it is. The E, everyone who trusts in Jesus alone has eternal life. Everyone. We are all have that capacity. There's never been anyone that was created that God's like, no, don't really want them. That everyone was created by God with God's desire to have a relationship with them. So everyone who trusts in Jesus has eternal life. Grace is a gift when we believe and when we receive. And so we have the capacity, every person that you have the capacity can have a relationship with God, because anybody that you can talk to, no one that you come up with is going to say, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I am. We can say, actually, that doesn't really make a difference, because God's bigger than all of your stuff. So that everyone can be made right with God. And life with Jesus can start right now. For everyone, through confession and through repentance, through coming to faith in Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit. We prayed at that last song, right? Come, Holy Spirit, have your way in us, allowing the Spirit to change us and transform us, which means we don't have to do all the work. We let God do that work in us. So God, our sins, paying everyone life. Can you say that with me? God, our sins, paying everyone life. Let's do that one more time. God, our sins, paying everyone life. That's pretty simple to remember, isn't it? You have just now been trained. And you have all passed. You have all been equipped to share the essence of the gospel. You don't get to be in the 93% anymore. Because God has chosen to use you and to me to share the gospel. So are you ready? I'm going to give you another acronym. Are you ready to fish? When we walk out of this place today, are you ready to fish? Fishing was a great metaphor that we see in the first century. Jesus used a lot. Are you going to go fishing for men? So this acronym, this is not mine. This is what I got from somebody else. But I like it because it just summarizes how we do gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life. How do we do that? How do we fish? The F is for friendships. That we develop friendships with unbelievers. We share life with people who don't know Jesus. So when we fish, when we want to share the gospel, that means that we got to go to people who don't know Jesus. And if the data is correct, the reality is it's most of the people around us. So we've got to, as the people of God, who God has chosen to use, we have got to develop or build relationships and friendships with people who don't know Jesus. The I is we've got to initiate spiritual conversations. That means we've got to be discerning and think and look for the moment. Look for the moment where we can initiate a spiritual conversation. Where I love how Jesus did this. We don't really have time to go into it, but John tells the story of this woman at the well. This woman who, she had a very sordid past. We would say that she was popular in the community, especially with men. And Jesus meets her at the well and engages in this conversation with her and picks a moment to shift the conversation to spiritual in nature so that he could offer her the good news. So we've got to build friendships with unbelievers. We've got to initiate spiritual conversations. One of the easy ways for us to do that is to tell our before and after story. Who were we before Jesus and who are we after Jesus? How has our life been changed as a result of Jesus? And we have talked in here before at great length that if you're after Jesus is not much different than you're before Jesus, then you might not have an after Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence and changes and transforms us and does amazing things in us. So we've got to build relationships with unbelievers. We've got to initiate spiritual conversations. We have to share the gospel. We have to do it verbally. We have to tell people about Jesus. Because as Paul says, how will they know? How will they come to faith? How will they understand? There's not that many pastors in the world. So you can't throw it all on us. That came from my best friend who's a pastor who's with us today. If you didn't hear it, he said, thank goodness. Because we have to be the people who share the gospel. We have to tell. And again, we're going to come back to this question I've been asking you every week. Does it make a difference to you whether or not your people in your life believe in Jesus, have been made right with Jesus? If it does, you got to tell them. Because if you don't tell them, not only might their trajectory be hell, but actually James tells us, I think in 1:7 or 1:4, 4:1 or 4:7, that to not do what we're supposed to do is a sin. So if we're not telling others about Jesus, y'all, we're sinning. We're sinning. We're separating ourselves from God. Well, you now have a method. That doesn't have to be you anymore. You have a gospel method. So we have to share the gospel that God, our sins, paying everyone life. That's the gospel. And the H, we help them make a decision towards Christ. In other words, we say, do you know him? Would you like to know Jesus? Would you like to right now, right here in this place, turn your life over to him? Right where you are, because it doesn't make a difference who you are or where you've been or what you've done, because God has loved you before all of that and he loves you after that. And he's got this amazing desire to have a relationship with you. In other words, we got to help people close the deal. Anybody who's ever sold anything, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You're like showing people stuff. I remember when I worked for May Company, I'd be out on the floor showing stuff. And how often I'd be like, so, do you want me to put this aside for you? Or, hey, would you like this to go with it? Or, so what's making you not make this choice today? So, in other words, we got to close the deal. We got to offer them the opportunity. And to be honest with you, that's where a lot of people fall short. Like they'll tell them the gospel. We'll tell people about Jesus. And they'll be like, all right, have a great day. But the Bible says we don't know what tomorrow holds. So we got to close the deal today. And so we got to help people make a decision towards Christ. See, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And you, and you, and you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Because God has chosen to share his good news with people through people. So let's go back one more time. Repeat it with me. The gospel in essence. God, our sins, paying everyone life. It's that simple. We just overcomplicate it. And then we say, would you like to know Jesus? Because he already knows you. And he already loves you. Would you like to know him? If so, Let's pray right now.